Passage, la nouvelle série de podcasts de l'Institut français. Un échange libre et sans modérateur entre une personnalité des mondes francophones et une personnalité néerlandaise sur des thèmes qui leur sont chers.
I am Alain Mabankou from Congo Brazzaville, novelist and professor at UCLA. Today I'm in Amsterdam.
Bonjour. my name is Simona Atangana Bekono. I'm a writer and a poet and also a teacher of literature. Mm. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, Simone, it's been a while. I wanted to meet you, maybe to talk about that literature, to talk about people who are writing in Dutch here, but who has also an African origin in this sense. So I see that you, like me, you began with poetry.
Yes.
You published a book of poetry. That's what I did back then. I published first books of poetry before jumping to the novel. As for me, I did pick the poetry just because back then I was thinking that it was the correct way to express maybe my feeling. I was scared of writing novels because I may get lost by the characters. I'm gonna pick here and there. Whereas if I'm writing poetry, I'm just expressing my feeling. I don't know what you felt when you began with poetry. I wanna know, maybe it's the same feeling.
Yeah, I think it was a bit similar. When I started writing, I wrote short stories. Mm. And I actually, when I went to art school, I never published anything or I never wrote a poem before. Mm. But I got to, I explored it there through my teachers and other students. Mm. And I really liked it because, as you said, it's a form of expression that is very free, doesn't have so many characters, rules, plots. And with the short stories, I could keep it short and put in a lot. But I was also very afraid of the novel, the idea of writing a novel. Yeah.
But at the same time, when we see poetry, you see just little signs on the paper. Mm. If you do a mistake, it's going to be seen quickly because it's act like a novel. You can say, oh, I mistook over there. I'm going to change.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm. Do you think that when I started writing poetry, I was still quite young, and I think I had quite a naive idea, like I can just do what I like and it's associative and free. Actually, once you really start to write poetry, you realize indeed that it's much more contained.
Yeah.
So you have to be just as attentive.
Yeah. As for me, I can't stand my poetry when I was young because it was like I was crying every day, like I'm writing letters to women because it's begun with love, you know.
Yeah, of course.
The girl you're loving doesn't pay attention, so you go home and you try to write. No, if you don't come, I'm gonna kill myself or something. It was like a kind of love letters. And when I got to France, I was 20 years old, and I tried to publish those kind of poetry, but nobody wanted it.
No.
I was so furious. I was in anger to say that this word is the word of people who don't realize that the genius are everywhere. I didn't think about working. Your first poetry was for love, about love too?
No, my first poetry book was about, it was actually about a lot of things that I also write about in my novel, but I was a bit older when I published it. And it was actually very angry. I also don't really know how I feel about it now. I'm a bit older. I mean, still quite young, but I mean, it was 6-7 years ago. And it was about, so yeah, there was a lot of rage. And it was about, you know, growing up in the Netherlands and feeling cast out as well in, I guess, in the literary world. And it's about, you know, having this black body in this day and age. And I guess because I never really found, like, there were no teachers that, really touched upon these subjects when I was in university or in school. I really had to go on a little scavenger hunt myself. And yeah, I guess I kind of wrote the poems while I was also exploring, you know, all these black writers and African writers and North American African writers, because nobody really taught me how to how to get there. And I was really shocked that, and yeah, during my time in art school, I think I, without knowing, I grew a lot of rage, I guess, which is also a bit of a cliche, just like love.
Yeah, you got lucky to meet already like African American poets, because we were like reading French poetry, you know, we read Victor Hugo, Paul Verlaine, Arthur Rimbaud, before reading like what is so-called black poetry, poetry from like Aimé Césaire, Léopold Sédar Senghor. African-American poetry was for us too far because of the language. And back then, it was difficult to find the translation of the African-American poetry into French. So we would read like only like French poetry. And once I got in France, I began to find the translation of the those poetry and trying to read like Langston Hughes, all those Richard Wright by the novels and so on and so on. So that's why you don't find all kind of issues related to the race in my first poetic text. It was just like romantic love, romantic, like life is good in this sense. It was, I think, the lack of influence.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I think for me, I was also really raised with, but then with the Dutch literary canon. So for me, I also had
It was poet from here.
Yeah. Most of the poets that I first got in touch with were also, were Dutch poets, mostly white poets. But I remember the
white
first...
White and masculine.
Of course.
Men.
Yes.
White, well, old and men, no?
There were some women, I have to say. I have to give credit to my teachers. But there, I remember the first poet I really loved was this poet Alfred Schaffer, who is from Aruba in the Netherlands. And it was also the first... poetry that I really felt like, oh, I understand this in a way. This makes me, I don't know, it resonates in a different way than the other ones, which I also, of course, enjoyed. I think, I think because my English is quite good, it was nice to. But I actually have this other problem, which is that because my father is from a French-speaking country, I also was really always quite curious about, you know, the French writers who wrote about these issues, but then I have trouble finding their translations. So
of those people there.
Yeah, exactly.
In Dutch, you mean?
In Dutch.
Or in English.
Or in English, too,
Maybe that the problem with the poetry, it's difficult to find the translator.
Yeah.
I think that I've been publishing poetry for like 30 years, and 20 years, and... this year was the first time all my poetry was translated into English.
Wow.
So far it remained like, you know, you can have like 200 people reading that, whereas I'm writing novels like read by everybody, celebrated, but when it's come to poetry, they're going to say, I'm going to read it tomorrow because I don't understand poetry. This is something else. Maybe it's my problem with Africa. I didn't write about only Africa.
No.
I write about what I'm feeling, what kind of pain I'm like carrying throughout the years. So poetry was for me the opening to go to the novel. And I think that I crossed the road to go from the poetry to the novel because I was... maybe sick and tired of just being like a kind of writer who is writing for a small audience who are hidden under the bridge, reading me when they can and so on. And so I said, okay, I'm going to write poetry in the novel. So my first novel looked like a kind of poet who's trying to hide poetry inside the novel, you know. It was a poetry. The phrase was, I take my time to describe the trees, I take my time to describe the sky, but the characters are not moving. They are just staying over there because I spent a lot of time describing the nature instead of creating a kind of plot which is going to interest the people.
Yeah, I can imagine. So the poetry is never far away in your prose. But do you feel like, because now your poetry is being translated to English, that it shows a more round, a rounder view of who you are as an author?
When I saw the translation, I was thinking that it's not me because it's been a while. I was expecting that, I saw that finally I have my poetry in English. So when I saw reviews on Paris Review or Los Angeles Review of books or something like that, I was like, who's that poet they are talking about? So it wasn't quite the same. The same feeling. It was for me a surprise to see that they are publishing the poetry at the time I'm not writing anymore the poetry.
You are no longer writing.
No, I'm not writing poetry. But, however, I'm publishing poets in France at the Edition Point Seuil. So I'm reading poets, I'm finding poets, and I'm publishing poets.
Because there's still a passion.
Yes, it's still a passion. It's better for me to be a kind of someone who is connecting the poet to the readers. Yeah. Because I know that the main problem for the poets is to find who gonna read them or where they're gonna find their book.
Yeah.
So Edition Point is one of the biggest paperback publishing house with Folio and Livre de Poche in France. So when they say that, would you please take care of poets? I say yes. And then I went to take poet from Iceland, from Poland, from not only, I told them I'm not here to publish only African literature because usually, you are African, good, you're going to bring people. No. So the first title, I want to publish Sejon, who is a friend of the singer Björk. Mm. So he wrote the lyrics for Björk. Yeah. So I published the lyric of he's a Congolese publishing lyrics from Iceland. So
it's not that weird. Yeah.
And then I published the poetry from Finland, and of course I did publish M. Césaire and New Voices from Martinique and so on and so on. And I hope that I'm going to see your poetry finally translated over there.
We're working hard on it. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I remember I read your book. I only know the English title, Broken Glass.
Broken, Verre Cassé.
Yeah, Verre Cassé. Yeah. Because you published it with Serpent's Tale, right?
Yes.
And which I now also am affiliated with through, they're going to publish my book in English.
The novel.
Yeah, so I didn't realize it until I signed the contract and I thought, wait.
Yeah.
And then I saw your book in my book. But talking about poetry and prose, I think that book also really inspired me, I have to say, because I really liked it. It really resonated with me the way that you... Because what I find really interesting in prose is to kind of insert this, how do you say, this, how people naturally speak and think and how everything goes on. And I thought you did it really well in that book. And
man.
Yeah. And it helped me a lot because when I was writing my book, I wanted it to be, it's from the perspective of a young girl, and I wanted it to be coming really from her voice, not just me, the writer, saying, it has to be... You almost, as you read it, I wanted it to be like you are in her head and you hear her voice. And it was definitely one of the books I read and I would think about sometimes, I wanted you to know that.
Now we are in the same family in Serpent Tales.
Yes.
We did publish all my novels since Verre Cassé, Memoir of Porcupine, everything over there. And for me, it was a kind of benediction because... If you you publish a novel like in France or any language, if it's translated into English, it the main language for like I guess like here people who gonna look for my book if it's not in Dutch. I have only one book, Petit Piment, translated into Dutch here, but they can read it in English.
Yes, that's
very important for the translation. But at the same time, for you, your book, like of poetry, for instance, or even the novel, it translated in French is good because I think that France is one of the greatest country in what they call foreign literature. History plead for France, you know. Writers like Samuel Beckett, writers like the James Baldwin, write like Richard Wright, Chester Himes, wouldn't have been known if they didn't live in France during the kind of segregation, living over there and publishing there. I think that even the first success of James Baldwin was because of the French people, Giovanni's Room, because it was like a book in which he's a black people, but he's writing a book in which all the characters are maybe white. It's not occurring in Harlem. It's not dealing for nothing. It's talking about the love between two men. That was enough for people to hate James Baldwin in the 60s because you are black, you are gay, and you're writing a novel in which you're not pleading for the black people. So black people didn't read the novel, but now it's like a classic. Thanks to France, who at the same time who trusted that novel.
It's funny because that novel is definitely my favorite James Baldwin novel. Indeed, because I think I also had this, how do you say, kind of a preconception, maybe is that the word, about if you're a black person, you have to write about that experience, which I want to, in a way, but I was it was nice because James Baldwin is, of course, a very important figure also for the, I don't know what's the word, the civil rights movement and everything, but also wanted to be able to write from all these different perspectives, which I think is good to know as a writer, do, you can slip on these different coats and stuff like that. And it's a very moving book.
That's why I was wondering, like, for me being in front of the first Dutch writer who used to be black like me, and do you use your? I can't imagine the blackness experience in this country if you're dealing with it or something like that.
You mean in my work?
In your work. Is it a topic? Is it like something, or do you feel free to do whatever you want, or do you feel like you need to testify, maybe to express a kind of reality which is hidden to the wider public?
I think that especially because of social media, it is definitely a topic now in society and definitely also in writing. But I think that we, of course, have, like many European countries, a lot of problems with extreme right and this kind of people being very, they find the idea of, you know, wokeness very suspicious. But I think it's definitely a topic for me in my work. And I try not to get too caught up in the consequences of that. But, I mean, in the Netherlands, it's, if you really, there are, we have had problems with people publishing books about sensitive issues, not just about race, also about religion, that now have no life because of they're getting arrested and stuff like that. So it's something that I think about, but I want to try to keep that away from the writing because I do want to be able to write about what I think is important to write about. And I think especially in the Netherlands, I want to, especially in my novels, always to write, I don't want to specifically write from the perspective of black people, but I do. I find it refreshing to be able to insert them in this literary space, which is in the Netherlands very wide still. I think that is also quite different from France, is that we do have I mean, the Netherlands has had colonies and everything, but yeah. You know, we have, I don't know, maybe this is the same in France, that mm-hmm. you have this kind of section which is, you know, the yeah. the migration literature or yeah, the yeah. from the literature from the colonies. And I think it is nice that I do see a lot of young writers trying to kind of get pushed past that.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's always a bit of a challenge because you also don't want to be put in this box.
Yeah. That box, we found it in France. We were like fighting against this situation in which usually critics were dividing literature in two parts. You have French literature and Francophone literature.
Yeah, Francophone.
So how would you explain to people that... both literature are written in French, but you are dividing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which doesn't exist in English language. Because if you are like Salman Rushdie with the Indian or Asian origin, and or you are Hanif Qureshi or, I don't know, Zadie Smith, that's not different with Margaret Atwood, and they're writing in English.
Yeah.
So it's not like, oh, this is English literature and this is Anglophone literature.
Yeah,
Anglophone
exactly,
literature yeah. doesn't exist in English. So the division we were facing for a while was that as people from Africa, we were considered like a writer from the Francophone world. So we did fight a lot in order to like erase this kind of prejudice. We were considered like people who were like writing with accent, writing with like the song, the rhythm. They're going to celebrate you.
That, yeah.
They're going to say, you are the best by using our language. You are the best Francophone writer. So they're not going to say that you are the best writer in France. No, because that's like... it's for Welbeck, for Echenoz, it's for Patrick Deville, etc. But at some point, when they see that you have reached the international stature, you become like a strange animal. Yeah. Who, like, when you are speaking, you're not speaking only for French people, you are speaking throughout the world, and then they don't know where to put you there. You are the ambassador of the French language. So it's like you have been upgraded.
You become a unicorn.
Yes, I was in economy class, I went to premium well-being, and now I'm the first class, the ambassador of French language, and then you represent France because you won the same prize. You won the Goncourt, like the Senegalese Bougassar. You won the Goncourt, like Marine Diaye, and so on and so on.
Yeah.
So the change, I think, that is coming thanks to the world literature.
I think it's also what you just said. I found very interesting that they always praise the writing for the rhythm and the melody and everything.
Yeah.
But I also find that interesting because they also do that with me. They say, it has a rhythm and blah, blah, blah. And that is like how they praise the literature from, you know, outside of the normal, their little box, I would say. But also I find it to be, it almost feels like they assume, or I say they, it doesn't matter who, some person. It feels like an assumption that because you have roots in Africa or the diaspora, that it is natural to you, and that of course it is natural that it comes into your writing. I find it very important to put that in my writing, but it costs a lot of effort to make the song sing, right?
Yeah.
So I think that who was it? Who is the American writer who said that? I forget. Not Toni Morrison, but. I know why
woman?
Maya Angelou. She said, actually, you know, it takes a lot of effort to make a story sing.
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
And I think also that it was dangerous when back then they would ask like an African writer to write in a certain way in order to please the European audience.
And what was that way?
If you bring a manuscript, they're going to say, no, you know, we need more like the deepest forest with animals.
Exotism.
They're going to put everything in the cover of your book. They are selling
the leaves.
Because if you bring like the character who has philosopher reading Immanuel Kant and Spinoza, that's not good.
No.
We don't need that.
It has to be about the little village side of the forest.
Village with the kid dancing in the mud and like waiting for the sugar from the priest, you know. It's usually kind of cliche. And then come the people writing freely. I can see like a lot of African writers, they are writing freely. They are writing their own experience. Mm-hmm. I think that it's better.
Yes.
All my novel is about now my experience, my childhood, my relation with my mother, the way I perceive my city, Pointe Noire, and so. And sometimes I want to be funny. It's not just to sell the exoticism.
Exactly.
It's
just
how I wanna. I want the people to see who I am.
I think I have the same experience that when I wrote my novel, I really wanted it to take place in where I grew up, which is in the south of the Netherlands, which is quite rural. I think, you know, there's not such a big population of people of color or black people, because it is a very different experience that I had growing up there than from my white friends. Mm-hmm. But also I wanted it to not take place in Amsterdam, because a lot of literature takes place here.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed doing it, because I thought, you know, it's not just about, even though it is this, in a way, a cliche story about, a young girl growing up in a predominantly white space. I wanted there to be this voice that comes from there that describes life as I lived it. And I also noticed this a lot, that the type of literature that also in translation in the Netherlands that you get from Africa, especially now it's changing, but it was always indeed from this young poor girl that has to escape poverty and is married to an older man. And sometimes I'm like, I cannot believe it. It's only life like that, you know? Yeah.
I wonder, I don't know very well the Dutch literature here. Is there like a kind of black literature here of all the writers?
I think it's very thin spread.
Yeah.
We have, of course, writers from the
ex-colonies. From the ex-colonies, yes.
Jacques Martinus Arion. Yeah. One really great writer is Astrid Roemer.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of poets, actually, as well.
Yes. It's like Creole.
Who are from Curaçao, Aruba, Suriname.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When we were watching football, there were like black people inside coming from the colonies too, no?
Yeah.
The team, national
Definitely.
Team, they were playing.
Yeah, many of them,
I've forgotten the name, but a lot of them are worldwide known.
Of course. Yeah, we have a great export. We have a great export of football players. So we have it, but I think it comes in waves, and then sometimes it feels like it kind of disappears. But now we have interesting, I think, because we have a lot more first or second generation African people in the Netherlands that are actually starting to write books.
Mm-hmm.
So you do see that it's become a bigger group of people, which I find very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, a lot of them are writing poetry. So we have a very big poetry scene where a lot of people of color are, which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. So it's really nice.
Okay. At any case, I would like to be the first to introduce you in poetry in France.
That would
Hopefully,
be great.
I'm going to get the right of publishing your book of poetry and make people from France know that a great voice is coming. And it's going to disturb a lot of things.
Thank you. That's very kind words.
Thank you. I was happy to meeting you.
Yeah, thank you for this conversation.